Good evening and welcome to the latest episode of the Magicast. I'm your host, Scott Monroe. We're recording, maybe in an hour and a half after the dramatic, wonderful limbs, I'm going to say, last minute header by Brian with a Y, Cristante, after the Udinese 1, Roma 1, but it ended up Udinese 1, Roma 2. And I think a few Roma fans have pointed out on social media that João Ferreira probably did one of the most stupid things I've seen a footballer do. And we'll come to that when we talk about Roma's winner. With me this evening is Imran. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Was you like me? I posted a picture of the Roma players celebrating as soon as the goal went in. How did you celebrate? I imagine you was probably still at work. Or was you like, did you do a Pellegrini and fall to your knees? Would you jump in for joy like I was?
Yeah, actually, I had just finished work, 8 o'clock, put the game on. And then when they scored, I was still in my office because takes me 20 minutes to get home, so okay. I had to watch the game there. Luckily, where the office is located, there are not many people around, so I could, I could celebrate. It was loud, but luckily, there was no one there to be affected by it. So it was such a great relief, and I had given up, but then. What a win. It's so important.
It is. We'll probably talk about the importance of the win, but it was weird because there was 25 minutes of football plus the added time. It started on the 71st minute when the game was abandoned and the ball was with the Udinese goalkeeper. Roma made a few changes. So Angelino came in. And I messaged you at work, on WhatsApp, sorry, when you were in your office. I was like, are Roma playing a 4-4-2? I had no idea what Roma set up with. And I will probably re-watch the last 20 minutes from a certain website tomorrow. But that was a very gung-ho approach. And I liked what De Rossi said afterwards. He said, I put Angelino in because he likes to put a lot of crosses in. And Udinese are quite physical in the defence. But there were some scary moments, wasn't there, Imran? Our Lord and Saviour goalkeeper had to pull off an outstanding save from, I think it was João Ferreira, who we'll talk about in a minute. And then there was, like, they had a couple of corners and stuff like that. Roma had to dig deep for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I thought that he was offside, so I think I was thinking if he went in, he would have gone to VAR, but I'm not sure. My instant reaction was that it looked offside, but it's difficult to say. But anyway, it was a great save. It was an important save, good reflex. I mean, he was quickly down there, saved it. And then, but the match in itself was, we have a term in Scandinavia, we say that it was Hawaii football, which means that it's an informal term we use when it comes to football, where you have a very swinging match picture. There's no proper game plan. You can have chances on both ends, not a proper tactical plan. And that's something you can expect from a game which starts from the 72nd minute. That's why it was difficult to establish a proper play from either of the teams. So you had chances at both ends. We had some half chances. Asmon, Dybala, wouldn't call it a chance because he didn't get a shot on goal, but that could have been a potentially great chance if he either shot early, got a better chance of the ball, or passed it to
Asmon.
whether Asman on the left,
Yeah.
Diaz to the right,
Yeah,
or
Abraham.
Abraham on the left. Yes, and then we can come to that more rather clumsy clearance, which ended up
Yes.
in a corner.
He cleared it out. He literally toe punted because it was it Biol did a slash clearance and then Ferreira just toe punted it out. But there were two corners. One of them got cleared and then it went straight out for another corner. That was a no, it was Lorenzo Pellegrini's shot, wasn't it? That was blocked by
Yeah,
Ebisele.
deflected off. Yeah,
Ebisele.
yes.
And it just went wide. That was a deeper back post corner. And then for the second corner, he went to the front post where I think,
It did.
yeah, where Cristante is quite good because he's quite tall and he's quite mobile and in the air and a brilliant header. And there was absolute chaos afterwards. We have a term in the UK called limbs, which is celebration when a goal. A special goal, maybe in the last minute of a game, the winner. You could see the Roma fans in ecstasy in the away end on Liberation Day in Italy, which is a public holiday. And you could see Daniele De Rossi running down the touchline. You could see him jumping on his.
He completely lost it. He couldn't
Yes.
control it. Usually he's very composed on the sideline.
He
He's very
is.
composed. He controls his emotions. But this time, when he gets the goal there in the end, he just completely lost it. He apologized for that, by
He
the way,
did,
to
yeah.
the Udinese fans. Yeah.
So, and like, I think you could see the reaction of the Roma players, like I said earlier at the beginning. You could tell it meant a lot because of what they went through. Oh, how far away were 12 days ago? 12 days ago, was it? 11 days ago?
Yes.
What happened?
Yes.
He had the emotion of last Thursday, the defeat. On Monday against Bologna. So they've gone high, they've gone low, high, low, and then they've gone high again. And you can see how much it meant to some of the players after the final whistle. Like Lorenzo Pellegrini went straight to his knees. Asmund was running around like I probably was in my living room here in Swindon. You had all the players running away to Paulo Dybala because he took the corner. I think you could see Diego Llorente just shouting "Vamos, vamos, vamos" to Gianluca Mancini, and everyone running onto the pitch. Just like the emotions were running high, and as you said, Daniele De Rossi going absolutely mental on the touchline. And then, as the class act and the gentleman he is, apologized afterwards because it was just a moment of what ecstasy, and it got the better of him. But you can tell it meant so much to the players after what they've been through.
How important was that?
On a scale of about 1 to 10, about a 40 or a 50, because it cuts the gap now. Like everyone was just saying, like on Monday, I think it was all doom and gloom because the defeat to Bologna, who was outstanding, it was 7 points. Now it's back to four, and then
It is.
Roma traveled to Naples, and if my memory serves me right, Bologna have to, is it Torino at the weekend, or it might have been
They have Udinese,
Udinese?
and then they have Udinese at home, and then they have Torino away,
Torino away.
Napoli away, Juventus at home, and then Genoa away. These are the five games they have left. Three away games, two home games.
That's it. So Bologna after they're at home against Udinese, who Udinese beat Bologna just before Christmas, or was it just after Christmas? Oh, yes, because they beat Atalanta just before Christmas, and just after Christmas, they lost 3-0 in Udine.
Yes.
And I think Bologna had like 74% possession. Just, so Roma Bologna, Udinese won. But I just think that just gives Roma.
So you're looking only ahead. I'm more worried about the teams behind,
Oh,
especially Atalanta.
I was just coming on to that as well because.
Okay, come to that because that's important.
That's also important because we jokingly said that Lazio, with their 30 fans, travelled to Genoa on a Friday evening and won 1-0. But then Atalanta, just doing Atalanta things, they won on. When did they? They won away at Monza, and that win for Roma because they play Atalanta in a couple of weeks in Bergamo.
Yes.
And it just gives Roma that breathing space. But Roma's run-in is disgusting. I'm just going to say, if they come out if they come out this alive and kicking and in Champions League places, give De Rossi the keys to Rome and just give them anything, because you've got the game away at Napoli, who are struggling at the moment, and I'm thinking Roma could potentially nick something in Naples and could get something. You got the Bayer Leverkusen home game. That's going to be amazing. Juventus at home, which I could see Roma getting something out of, but I've been proven wrong. This could get clipped up and just taken on the internet, but there's that. And then you've got the Bayer Leverkusen away game. I'm thinking, who we got afterwards? Is it the Atalanta game?
Yes. We have the Atalanta game then. And after that, we have Empoli in general. But yeah. I think if you look at Atalanta's remaining games in Serie A, they are ridiculously easy. Mm. They play Empoli at home. They play Salernitana away. They play us at home. Then they have Lecce away, Torino at home, and then they have the game in hand against Fiorentina. And we have to think, remember, if Atalanta qualify for the Europa League final, which we have to hope they do, then most likely their game against Fiorentina there will not be any available date for that to be played. So each team will be given a point, most likely. Mm. Most likely. And that will benefit us, because if assume as per now that Atalanta and Fiorentina will end in a draw, then they are 3 points behind them, but they have a slightly better goal difference with two goals. So we have 20 plus goals, they have 22. That means there are 3 points behind, there are five games left to play. We face, like you said, Napoli, Juventus. I think we need 4 points against Napoli and Juventus in total. Mm-hmm. We could afford a draw, but we have to win the other. Mm. And then we have to go to Atalanta and avoid a defeat. If we do that, then I think we can realistically start speaking about Champions League. But I think a miracle will be needed because we have, like you said, very tough games coming up. But I think 4 points will be needed against Napoli and Juventus, and then avoid a defeat against Atalanta. Then we can realistically speak about Champions League.
Atalanta do have the two legs against Marseille, and also they have a Coppa Italia final on the 15th of May against Juventus in Rome after Atalanta.
That's 3 days after.
Yeah.
That's 3 days after Atalanta-Roma. So, and you know, they would like to win that final. So it will be very tricky for them as well, how they're going to, you know, and that final will be 6 days after their Europa League game.
Yeah, it's Marseille.
It's very congested for them as well, but if they go all in with their best lineup, with not so many rotations, I think they could suffer. They could suffer greatly.
I've also got Lazio's fixtures. They did lose to Juventus over two legs. They were 2-0 up, and then Arkadiusz Milik scored right at the end. They're at home to Hellas Verona on Saturday night, and away at Monza on the Saturday early kickoff. And then they've got Empoli at home, Inter away. Inter probably be still on a high, drinking, doing Instagram videos. Hakan Çalhanoğlu probably still has lost his voice on his Instagram live. And then they're at home to Sassuolo on the last game of the season. So it's still up in the air. It's 4 points between Roma and Atalanta, and it's a further 2 points from Atalanta to Lazio. And Roma are 9 points clear of Napoli in eighth. So realistically, it's between Roma, Atalanta and Lazio for that fifth spot. Would you agree?
Yeah. I think it will be difficult for Lazio. They're 6 points behind Roma, and they have rather easy games, but have to win all of them. I think that's a bit unrealistic. They'll have a tough time against Inter because Inter will try to get 100 points. We have to take that into consideration
Yeah.
as well. But yeah, I mean, Atalanta's game, they're ridiculously easy. Bologna have two tricky games. They have Napoli away, Juventus. No, Napoli away,
Yeah.
Juventus at home. Then, but I don't know. I think with the form and consistency that Bologna have shown, they're safe.
Sure, I have a feeling they will probably finish in the top three or four. There is a part of me that Juventus can be caught, and I've been saying this for a while. Because I watched partly, I had the game on against Cagliari in the background as I was just sorting some stuff out in my hotel room, and they struggled big time. And they've just dropped off a cliff from recently. They're only 2 points behind Juventus. And that's scary.
Yeah, they are.
Roma are only 6 points
This week we
behind.
have Juventus Milan.
Yeah, that's on Saturday
This weekend is
evening.
Juventus Milan.
Yeah.
Yes, that's Saturday evening. Juventus Milan, big game. Both teams need to, be in poor form. Heavily criticize both Allegri and Pioli. So they have a lot to prove. I hope for our sake, Milan takes 3 points, and then apart from that, they will also have the game against us the weekend after. And then, of course, Salernitana will be more or less like a walkover. And then they have Bologna away, which could be, a tricky game a difficult game, but for both of them. I think if we want to prefer a result, we have to wait to see how the table will look like ahead of that game. And then they have Monza. I think Juventus will be safe. I think ultimately, there are 15 points to play for in the last five games between Juventus, Bologna, Roma, and Roma 6 points behind Juventus. That's a bit too much. I think it will be difficult to catch them, but Bologna could.
And you know what, Imran? Roma are only 5 points away from their totals of points for the last two seasons, which was 63.
Despite having started and being in a worse position when De Rossi took over.
And he's equaled Jose Mourinho's total of the first 20 games of the season with 29 points, and he's got 29 and 13. So, yeah.
Yeah, 7 games less.
Yeah, if I speak, I'm in trouble.
You are trouble, yeah.
I'm not going to say anything more. Did you see anything about Leonardo Spinazzola? About his, he may have a contract renewal for 2 years
Contract renewal 2 years on
on a lower fee.
a lower salary. Yeah, we spoke about it, me and Joey, and I said that I would be happy if they renewed him because I think that personally I think if we have too much of a turnover in the transfer market, that could also be negative. So I think you need to keep some players. You need to keep some experienced players, and then gradually change the team and bring new players. So I think Spinazzola is a player who could flourish under De Rossi next season if he stays fit.
Yeah, I just feel like it's a low risk move. I think it's. I probably changed my opinion on it in the last 6, actually in the last 4 months, because I think in the style of football that De Rossi has played in recent months and the change of ways that Roma have been in, I think Spinazzola has flourished. And as you said, he probably will flourish. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he'll be back up to DeMarco. Because of Destiny and Doji's injury for Euro 2024, because we are coming to that period where we are 50 days away from Euro 2024. And I think it'll be a low risk move for Roma. I think he's on a bit of a wage at Roma at the moment. And he's actually impressed in games. He did well in the cameo of 25 minutes this season. He impressed me a couple of weeks ago in the games against Milan. I think he played brilliantly against Milan in both games. It was outstanding. Just unbelievable. But no, I think it's a good move for all parties. Do you want to do a brief, very brief preview for Sunday?
Yeah, why not? I think, like I said, I think if we can somehow get 3 points against Napoli, it will be such a relief going into Thursday's game, but also the following weekend against Juventus. It will be tough. They have a lot to prove. But I think if you stay concentrated and stick to the game plan, keep it tight, tactically organized, I think that there will be chances where you can punish Napoli. And they are going through a very tough period. They're under heavy criticism, a lot of pressure on the team. So there is an opportunity there that could be capitalized.
Would you say that Napoli are going for a transitional period this season? I think their owners just
probably... Well, it shouldn't have been.
No, they shouldn't have.
It unwillingly ended up... Yeah, I mean, they won the Scudetto last season. There was no way that team was going to go through a transitional period. They just appointed the wrong coach. They sacked him. And then they...
Appointed the other wrong coach.
Mazzari. Yeah, the other wrong coach. So, you know, everything went wrong for them. And that's also very important when you talk about teams. You know, there could be such a great difference when you make, you know, so big mistake when it comes to the coach. Because he's such an important part. So, I mean, having the right coach and great scouting, you can go so far. Just look at Leverkusen. But instead, if you have great scouting, but the wrong coach, you appoint the wrong coach, everything can go to hell. And that's exactly what happened with Napoli. I mean, they still have Kvaratskhelia, they have Osimhen, they have...
Politano.
You know, Politano has been doing well. Of course, they lost, I think, Kim. Yeah, they lost Kim last season.
Yeah, he went to Bayern Munich.
But I mean, the attack is still the same. And you know, Raspadori was also good. He's also a potentially very good player. So, yeah, I mean, they messed up. They messed up with the coach they hired, and now they're paying. So now they're going through. They have to go through a transitional period, and this summer will be interesting because I think they will have to sell some players, and they will have to bring some new players because their defense is, I mean, nowhere to be seen. There's nothing compared to the consistency they had last season.
Yeah, Ratmani and Juan Jesus as a centre-back pairing is a bit worrying.
Juan Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Leo Ostergaard. I don't mind Ostergaard a little bit. I think Ostergaard could be a good...
He's good, yeah. I like him.
He's a good third or fourth choice. Like, since the defeat to Barcelona in the Champions League, where they lost 4-2 and Barcelona are in the Champions League semi-final. Oh, no, they're not. They got knocked out by PSG.
Yeah.
Apologies. They drew 1-1 away at Napoli with the incident with Acerbi and Juan Jesus. Juan Jesus actually scored in that game and Damian scored for Inter. They lost 3-0 at home to Atalanta on Easter Saturday. I watched that game and Atalanta tore them apart. They won 4-2 away at Monza. They drew 2-2 at home to Frosinone, a game I also watched, where Mario Rui stupidly got himself sent off in the 99th minute. And an on-loan Napoli player scored twice for Frosinone in Chidera. And last week they lost 1-0 away at Empoli with Alberto Cherry scoring the goal. So they're going through a bit of a rough patch at the moment. And it's not the Napoli of Spalletti of last season where they were just killing teams left, right and centre.
Yeah.
It feels like a season that Di Laurentiis is just for effort. I've had my joy of last season. I'm just going to throw it away all in the bin. And I think Roma could probably capitalise on that.
Yeah, They could, and I think we are in a, we're in a good form. If you look away from the Bologna game, I think we should. The fatigue factor will, of course, will be there ahead of the Leverkusen game. But I think still, now we will be without Paredes and Llorente, so there will be some forced rotations. And now, if Smalling is
Yeah.
out, we'll have to be, we'll probably have to play Huijsen.
Yeah, it could play a back three of Celik, Mancini, maybe.
Risky.
Yeah. The Smalling injury is a
Risky.
Smalling injury this evening was a bit of concern.
I hope it's a precaution.
Yeah. Me too.
I hope it's a precaution, but it's difficult to say. We just have to wait for the results to come and see what they announce in the next few days. But it's difficult to say, what you could expect. But I would say I'd rather play Napoli, the Napoli of this year compared to last
Last
season, because
season,
last
yeah.
season they were unbeatable. That would have been a completely different game. But so there is there are chances there that you could punish them, obviously, and you need to believe in that, and you need to take your chances when you get them. So it's not an impossible game, but it will still be a difficult game because it's always a difficult stadium to go to. It's always a difficult team to play against, and they show up in the big games. They get added motivation. You get adrenaline for free, which can drive you through the game and give you something extra. So the big games are different. It's difficult to say. We have to remember they won against Juventus
They
and they
did.
drew against Inter.
Yeah.
They lost to Atalanta, but they've had some. They've been good in the big games. It's just that they've dropped points against rather weaker teams.
They picked up a 2-2 against home to AC Milan when they were 2-0 down. Giroud scored twice early on. I think, was it Giacomo Raspadori scored a wonder goal in the equaliser? That was like midway through the latter half of last year, so the first half of this season.
I'm thinking more. I'm trying to focus more on since Mazzarri was sacked, because
Okay,
then
got you, got you.
you could see more like, okay, new coach came in. What has he done since? Because before that, of course, when they have been so inconsistent, it's difficult to rely on results from the previous game. But of course, it could be a pattern. If there's a clear pattern that they're good against the big sides, then of course. But they lost against us in December, so I hope we do a double on them.
Napoli fans will probably say that Roma won because they played against nine men, but you have to beat the team that's in front of you.
Yeah, definitely.
Imran, do you have anything else to add after the glory of the ecstasy of Brian Cristante's last-minute winner?
No, that's good. Thank you very much.
Just going to say, João Ferreira, I think you'll be in a lot of Roma fans' hearts after your stupidity of a clearance that cost your team a point. Just, oh, I'm still baffled about that earlier. And I saw Fat Totti post it on social media, and a lot of Roma fans point it out as well. But no, guys, you can follow us at themagicast.com. You can find us the previous episodes of the podcast on the website. And you can find us on all podcast platforms. So your Apple, SoundCloud, Spotify, etc., etc. We'll probably be back Monday after the game against Napoli on Sunday. Then we've got Leverkusen, then we've got Juventus. Just all the games coming thick and fast at the end of the season. Imran, thank you very much for joining me for a quick energy boosting espresso shot of a podcast this evening.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy the rest of your week, guys. Reministi, we're back after the disappointment from on Monday to the ecstasy of this evening. Enjoy your weekends. Hopefully, we'll get another 3 points on Sunday at Wetnaby. Take care. Ciao, ciao.